I wish to declare that the meeting opened, and I would like to welcome you this morning. And we have a very, very long agenda, but we are going, I'm proposing that we cut it, because there's too much to chew. There's too much to chew, so we can't afford to chew everything that is before us today. But we will continue with our business in the near future, because I believe that this is our last meeting as we are going for the constituency period on the 26th. At least next week, I believe that we are not going to have any meetings, because there's this people's assembly. So I think most of us are expected to be there. But firstly, I wish to inform the portfolio committee that we have good news in this committee. I would say good news, because if one of us has been given an opportunity to get to another office, so it's good news. But sometimes good news can become bad news. But there are instances where we have to accept those good news and appreciate them. Honorable Richard, we all know that he is our whip. Now he has been redeployed to be a chairperson of the Sports and Recreation Portfolio Committee. So that's the good news. But what is good about this, Honorable Richard, is not leaving us as the human settlements, because sports and recreation is part of the social cluster. So the agenda of human settlements will remain in his veins. There's no way that he can just abandon us, because we were going to meet in other forums. And I think the agenda of the cooperative, because he's the one who's driving this program. So he will not abandon us. And that was the announcement. I think it was crucial. And we also have an opportunity to welcome Umama Uthabiso Sibo as the whip of this committee. And we all know Mama Tsao, but close Tibana Naye, as members of parliament, she has been serving to so many committees as a whip. She has been to water affairs, police, public services. So she has got an experience even of water general, that we justice and constitutional affairs. So she has got the necessary capacity and the skills. And I don't think, although she was saying she's not familiar with human settlements, but I think she is not going to have any challenges here. But the only thing, this committee, we work extra hours. more than any committee in this parliament. Yeah. But Mam Tabu, she has been a soft, she was a soft one.
Yeah.
Before she came, before she came to parliament, you know, soft ones, they will have energy until extra energy. And Mam Tabu, you are more than welcome in this committee. Yeah. Mr. State, because Honorable Richard is also part of the coordinating committee, that steering committee preparing for the Free State business. So may you please make some few words from Honorable Richard.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, first of all, let me congratulate Richard. We perhaps come a long way, perhaps even further than some of the ANC members sitting around the bench here from Gauteng. And I'm glad to say that we've always had a very cordial relationship. The only thing, Chairperson, I'm wondering is whether there's currently co-ops in the sports and recreation portfolio, because if there isn't, there soon will be. So I want to wish Richard all the best. He's been in many varied positions, like his replacement to this committee, and I'm sure that Richard will give his best, as he has always done. I think we are going to miss him somewhat. He has tended to I think when all the other members go off on a bit of a tangent, he's tended to bring us back into policy line and so on. I can't say that I'm going to miss it too much, because I think we're more interested in the implementation, and that there's not so much, as far as I'm concerned, wrong with policy. So, Richard, all the best in sports and recreation. You can go and get the policy sorted out there, which perhaps needs a bit more sorting out than human settlements. And thank you for your contribution. And to the lady that's filling Richard's position, I think us men are going to have to become a little bit worried here. We're overwhelmed by women. Although it is a benefit, because we know that women tend to do more than men, so we're getting two for the price of one. Thank you. So welcome also to Mama here, to our committee. I think you will find that we've got, again, as a committee, a very good relationship. The chairperson has alluded to, and you may have heard this morning, some comments about her being a slave driver and what time did she go to bed last night and so on. But from what she said about you, it would seem that you would fit in very nicely with that sort of pace. So once again, Richard, all the best. I don't know how much you know about rugby and so on, but you will soon learn. And if this had come about probably a month earlier, you would have been in Australia now. So thank you, Chair. Thanks, Richard, and all the best.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Members and Honorable State, for those very humane and comforting words. So, I understand that Honorable Richard and Honorable Stolle have requested to leave earlier. Honorable Stolle has got a caucus at 11, so we are going to release him at 11. So, I'm done.
I will also request to be released a little earlier by having everybody at quarter to one.
No problem. Our agenda. Oh, before you leave, Honorable Richard and Honorable Stolle, Ukolisa, I would request Ukolisa to make an announcement for the Free State oversight, so that everybody must be on par of what is expected of us. Ukolisa?
Good morning, Honorable Members. The arrangements for Free State, we were supposed to leave today after
the plenary, but due to changes in parliamentary program, we are no longer able to leave today. But the flight that we could manage to get is only Mango and departing 6 o'clock tomorrow morning from Cape Town to Bloemfontein. So we need to be at the airport on about 5 tomorrow. And I would like members to indicate their addresses, please, in this paper so that we can arrange transport for tomorrow morning. Thanks.
I can go to Vani, Chukuti, Islite, and Jahid, meeting and connect. I have about 5. So go amba go five this time. After we go to, wonke umuntu akasho ukuthi when they are going home, everybody can go anytime. So tomorrow we are leaving in a lighter note. We are leaving tomorrow, and Honorable Richard is still part of us. Mamuza is not going to be part of us for reasons that she has alluded to me. Because she has been in hospital. So Comrade Richard, I understand that you are having your hands are full, but for tomorrow, if you can join us in that meeting, the morning meeting, it will be appreciated because you know all these issues. Our agenda, we are going to look at the regulations. Amendments, in fact, because last week we met and there was quite a number of amendments that were raised by the members themselves, as well as the department and SRA. So, unfortunately, this document arrived very late. So, but what we have prepared as the office. We have got this document where we have agreed that we are going to consider the public comments on these regulations. So the office has made this summary. We requested the research unit to check the public comments and those recommendations that were raised by the public. So here is the document in front of us. So we were supposed to have this document so that when we look, we compare and check what is those recommendations that have got merit and have not been considered by the department. So unfortunately, we did not have that opportunity. So I believe that maybe members do have some comments. So we are going to deal with such comments that the members do have, and then we look at it. But I wanted to propose that we can also request the legal unit to look at this and then make more, they advise us on some of other issues, more especially on legal matter issues. So I don't know if the committee would feel happy about that one. Then the second one, we have a report here. As we are going to Free State, I have requested a report because myself and Mr. Stain and Honorable Bowman attended the Appropriations Committee, Standing Committee meeting when they were interrogating the department on its quarterly reports. So there was an issue, in fact, all of us, we know about it, about the Free State expenditure for 2010-11. The patterns, we were not happy about them. So I requested the DG to provide a report on that issue. So I received the report. Then I took the report to the research unit to analyze the report and they hear the, I'm sure all of us, we do have that copy of that report, analysis by the research unit. So I thought this report will assist us tomorrow when we meet with the provincial department tomorrow, because some of these issues we have to raise, because they are very critical. We can't find a spike like this at the end of the financial year, so it's not acceptable. So this is the copy of the report. And then we have got these reports that have been circulated to us. I'm sure Usefcon, Sisbokon, the remainder skeleton of human settlements. If all of us will... Oh, it's not a right copy, okay. Okay. The reports, I mean, if we look at the order papers yesterday, the Office of the Speaker has referred SEFCON reports back to the committee after the forensic audit. I think that forensic audit was recommended by SCOPA. So that report has been referred back to us for consideration and report. So it means, SEFCON. SEFCON, we know that is no longer with us. But the skeleton, he comes back again. So we are going to look at that report, not today, but when we come back. But the report is going to be circulated to all members during the constituency period so that they have an opportunity to look at it. So those are the issues that are before us. And then the reports, USDG interaction reports, they are on the way. We are going to shift the Mpumalanga report. We are still going to clean it up, and then first meeting are going to consider that report. Thank you very much, honorable members. Any clarity, questions? Okay, I don't know. You can guide me now, because we don't have a person who's going to assist us on this one, but I think members can just come in if they've done any homework on the issue of the regulations. Anybody can just come in.
In the absence of anybody coming in, can I propose a way forward? Excuse me. It's the first time I think we've received the report from the research unit in terms of the submissions by the public. I want to suggest that we maybe go through this. What I like about this analysis is that they've indicated clearly what has been included and what has not been included. Now, I think we have to satisfy ourselves whether we agree. It's something that has been made by anybody from the public has not been included. And then once we've worked through this, then obviously we can go back to the regulations and make our own proposed changes that we wish. But as a starting point, we just work through this so we can put this away. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Woman.
Yes, Chairperson, I'm happy with that. I think also particularly where... more than one person has commented on a particular clause also. It's worth looking at again. So I'm also very much in favour of us doing that.
Okay, thank you very much. I think that's on the page. I think it's page two. This document I'm hearing. is the wrong one. This is the wrong one. This one is. Yeah, it's page 2. Then on...
Can I just get clarity on this document we're using? There appears to be some amendments and comments. Who was that made by?
It's those that we yeah, during our meeting. Yes. On page 2, we have got the chapter 3. Where they've included inspections. The comment here, they are saying the new chapter dealing with compliance monitoring has been inserted as per the recommendations of the committee. All the requirements, including the reporting requirements, now falls under the under one chapter without necessarily changing the content. So they've got another addition, withdrawal of accreditation. They are saying some of the clauses have been moved from other chapters and are now consolidated under chapter 3. As per the above comment.
So, I think something has been done. Then it can go straight now to chapter 1.
Chapter 1 on definitions. There was a comment on page 4 by the members on the occupancy agreement, which means that an agreement between a housing cooperative and a member in terms of the Cooperative Act 2005. Then inserted the definition as per the committee recommendations to cover the co-ops. As I say, now you lost? All right, with that? I can see.
Thanks
for. So that one was there again. I think from Doris, because you were active, you were actively participating on that meeting. So I hope that you have your copy that you were using. Oh, you missed it. Because now I lost mine. Okay, no problem. We're still going to continue next time. So. Four eyes. They are saying you need 6. Right. chapter 2, I think in terms of this document, we have not yet arrived to section 3, subsection 2. Applications, there's a clause 2-1-2-2-2-2-2. Yes. Oh, 2D3. Yes, 2D3. Okay. Then effective tenant management and efficient property. Okay. They've inserted a new provision to separate the criteria for property and tenant management. I think it was also a proposal from the committee. Then coming to section 3, applications must be submitted to the regulatory authority in the following manner, post Social Housing Regulatory Authority inserted correct address. I think there's no problem on that. But there's three. Okay. Okay. Honorable comment?
Sorry, Chairperson, I wasn't here for that initial meeting, so I just want to raise under 2.1.
2.1,
okay. It says an institution that carries on or that intends to carry on the business of social housing must apply in writing on the form that corresponds substantially with the annexure. Now, would they not? I'm failing to understand this corresponds substantially because it means that things can. There can be different forms, although substantially they are correct. I just want to understand, because it would seem to me, normally we go with the form, and it's very clear. But this seems to indicate that maybe we can use something else. I'm not sure.
That issue wasn't raised, but I think we can flag it because it may very well fit in with the issues that we raise continuously about cooperatives, because they seem to have left out cooperatives generally in the regulations. And by doing something like that, it allows for some deviation. So if it doesn't fit the institution as it's being run by a cooperative, then although it must more or less follow that format, it allows for some deviation from that, and it can't necessarily be thrown back and saying, by them saying, well, sorry, you haven't completed the form as we request. So I think it's actually a good thing that it's not very prescriptive in view of the fact that there may be different forms of housing institutions.
Okay. Assistant members, we're not part of our meeting. The issue of the cooperative was very, very, it came up very, very strongly. And even the department admitted that now they can see that even this Social Housing Act does not really, is not user-friendly for co-ops, even the act itself. So we agreed in that meeting that the department has to fast-track the amendment of the Social Housing Act itself, the primary act. So it means it's never a push. But because the ISRA has to begin to work now, to implement, they cannot implement a program now if these regulations are not finalized. So we agree that no, we are going to finalize the regulations. We are not going to wait for that period. We are going to make sure that at least these regulations are user-friendly. Although we know that eco-ops, they won't benefit much from this. So that was the situation we arrived at. Then coming to clause 4. Okay.
Okay, just on clause 3, I didn't raise it previously, but just having a look at it now, it makes provision for how applicants can do their submission. Now, looking at it, 3A says post, and they give the postal address. Then they've got a provision for by fax, and they've got a provision by electronic mail. Now, I would imagine that some institutions may want to submit something by hand, because we're talking about quite a lot of documents here. Should we therefore not put in another sub clause that by hand and then a street address need to be given?
Okay. Thank you very much. On page 6, the clause 4. Well, 34A. Let's look at this document. 34A, what are they saying? Where's 34A? Oh, okay. All right. Then on page 7, on section 3, qualifying criteria for accreditation of social housing institutions. Then the department, they are proposing that this insert a provision which will clarify the three types of entities to include, what is MOEs now? Municipal, what? I don't know. As per the Act. I don't know what is MOE. Because I don't have an Act in front of me. But the clause stipulates that the three main categories of social housing institutions that the regulatory authority shall consider accrediting are corporated entities that conduct its affairs on a non-profit basis, municipal entities, and housing cooperatives. Yeah, it was not there in the previous century. They have included it now.
Chair, you'll recall that the Act, in fact, prohibits municipal entities from being accredited. And we raised that question. Now, I'm just wondering, if in the regulations we make provision for it, but the Act disallows it, and the Act takes precedence, I would imagine. And you did raise that there are some changes that need to be made to the Act. But this is perhaps where we need some legal advice. Can we in the regulations now include municipal entities whilst the Act prohibits municipal entities?
Okay.
Then, okay, Abusta.
General Chair, I'm just trying to find on a collective entity that could conduct its own affairs on a non-profit basis. If somebody can give me some understanding, what will be the functions and the duties of these cooperatives?
They take part in the development of the social housing institutions. But the co-ops, we were part of the meeting. What the committee is arguing is that the primary co-ops, you cannot compare the primary co-ops with the well-established contractors or developers. So, but because the Act is considering, it has included the cooperatives. So what we are saying is the committee, because we cannot change anything now, what is in the Act, we need to go and amend the Act first. But because we cannot do that, wait for that process. You know, we process the legislation, even if it's an amendment. It takes too much time. But let's make an arrangement to say the co-ops must be considered in these regulations. But in those that are at there are three types of co-ops. There are primary co-ops. Then there are, what are they called? Management. But there are other two that are at least, they can compete with the well-established developers. But here we have to include them. Although we know that the co-ops are totally different from the social housing institutions. They are totally different. But you cannot change it. You cannot change it. I understand about that. I'm fine. I'm going to go to the orange. compare some original ama happiness into ezingadibaniyo ezo barafini namanzi but ke ngoba seyenzekile sizoqhuba nayo izalo but sisebenzele ukuthi these rules these regulations must be accommodate kodwa singaba surprise yayibona kata
then
can continue to mama zinkumbulo simane sijonga nalapha and then you call me to order so that I don't forget this one. Then three, in order to comply with the criteria of appropriate legal form.
Okay.
What's the same?
I just want to go back to two.
Mm-hmm.
2B.
2B.
Obviously makes an exception for municipal entities. Mm-hmm. And it links up to my earlier question. Now, the we know that social housing institutions are supposed to be not-for-profit basis. Now, because they've now included municipal entities, and municipal entities work for profit, I mean, the one in Ekurhuleni is a prime example, they've now made, with the exception of municipal entities, again, it's a contradiction in terms of the subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
The subsidy gets given provided that there's no profit made.
Mm.
And now we're making an exception for the municipal entities, and so it goes not only against the act, but it goes against the Subsidy Act as well. You cannot get a subsidy if you're going to make a profit out of social housing.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to flag that one again.
Okay. Thank you. What
is that? It's 2B. 2B? Yes. Right. Page 8. Then, in order to comply with the criteria of appropriate legal form, the applicant must be a company having a share capital, whether public or private. Amended the clause in line with the new Companies Act. B, a company limited by guarantee or not for profit in terms of the Companies Act. So there is an amended amendment there in line with the Act. And then there's nothing else.
I just ask the significance of these different colors that we've got here. And you've got a GV7 and an EL and then a number.
No, that's no.
Chairperson, I think we have our first reference here
mm-hmm.
at the bottom of this page, 34A.
34E from the public.
Okay. The clause is saying, with the exception. With the exception of municipal entities, in order to comply with the criteria of not-for-profit, the founding document of the applicant institution must provide that, one, the applicant's income and assets, however derived, must be applied solely to advance its main objective, and no portion thereof shall be paid or transferred directly or indirectly by way of dividends, bonus, or in any other manner to as many as may be applicable to the form of institution concerned. Any founder, member, shareholder, director, trustee, beneficiary, or holder of any interest direct or indirect in the institution, with the exception only of payments in good faith of reasonable remuneration for goods or services actually delivered or rendered to or at the direction of the applicant. The comment which has not been included, the section This is section 34A. The section should be loosened up to allow developers of housing to register as accredited social housing institutions in a manner that will allow developers of units that will be used for social housing to receive the restructuring capital grants, institutional subsidies, and grants if an agreement is in place for such transfer. That's okay.
Yeah. Jefferson, this is becoming very dear Makar, for want of a better word, and I'll tell you why I say that. These comments from the public was based on the other version. Now we've got the version that is substantially different from what we looked at last week. If you look at the one we had last week,
well, can you read it for us, please?
Well, the last week's one says, in order to comply with the criteria of good governance, the applicant must have the following arrangements in place. As its main object, the provision of rental or cooperative housing, options for low to medium income households, excluding immediate individual ownership and the contract as defined under the Alienation of Land Act 1981, on an affordable basis, ensuring quality and maximum benefits for residents, and the management of its housing stock over the long term. That is totally different to what we've got now.
But there's no reflection of any changes. So it means now...
But other than that, Chair, the fact that it's now totally different means we actually can't compare it. But what I want to say is, again, they make mention of... And I see that they put in with the exception of municipal entities, because they say in 4A... The applicant's income and assets, however derived, must be applied solely to advance its main object, and no portion thereof shall be paid or transferred.
Mm.
But that brings me back to the thing where they're making the exception for the municipal entities, which means it's not going to be true social housing. They're going to make a profit out of it.
Mm.
And therefore, the rental is going to be more expensive than it should be.
Mm.
So the beneficiary is actually not going to benefit if municipalities are going to use that to make revenue. And that's not the purpose of social housing subsidies.
Not matter if they indicated. It's not indicated. It's a new document at all.
So they left 5, they left up to 10. Previously, now it's only up to 6.
Okay, let's continue.
Can I suggest something? I think it's going to be quite difficult. I don't know whether the pattern is going to continue. We need to see that. But it might be better for us to, if this is now the document, for the legal unit, your idea for this to go to the legal unit and to tie it back to this, and also when the legal unit or somebody else looks at this, I think it would be useful if we then take the comments that the public have made and list where more than one association or a person or something, so that we get, otherwise we're going to also find ourselves bouncing around with this document. Because I've had a chance to look at it, and then we will be needing, you know, it's easier if it's in tabulated form so that we can see it.
What I want to establish here. Now, this response is responding to the original. Now we have got a new one. Is this new one responding to the public? Because what do we have to establish now? Our comment must be based on that. Even this new one, it's not even taking into account the public comment itself. Mamujo?
Firstly, I must say I move from the premise that for regulations to be effective, you need to put them into practice.
Okay.
You can't, for instance, perfect them on paper. They have to be practiced, and then you are able to tell whether the regulations are effective or not, and you mend them as you go on. Now, secondly, for me, unfortunately, I didn't really have this document. In fact, all the documents that have been given this morning, I didn't have them. So I had been using the other that we were given last time. Like, for instance, this document has the various submissions. Yeah. I haven't looked at all of them, but the few that I have looked at, like the Salka and the Lesson and the Lesson, when you compare them with the document that we used last time, to me, I don't know what the original document they were responding to was like, but the one that we discussed last week, compared with this and its recommendations, none of the recommendations that are put here appear in this document. Well, who would answer the question why they were not taken? It would be the department itself. I mean, it would be SRA itself. They would say why they didn't take, for instance, SALCA's recommendations, which appear in this document today. You see, this document, I mean, this recommendation that you see here, the one that I have looked at, are actually SALCA's recommendations that are here. But they don't appear in this very document that we discussed last week. And yet, by the time the SRA produced this document, they had already looked at, they should have looked at this one. So I want to suggest, Chairperson, I don't know, that for us to make progress, why don't we say, let's give ourselves time and look at this document that we have received now today, if that is the document we are now going to use. And when we come back next time, we look at this only one document. And then, of course, the public comments, to compare this document with the public comments, and then we are able to say what it is that we want. But even before we do that, I suppose this document is doing that, I'm not sure, I've not really looked at it in detail. We ourselves need to look at the public comments and identify the ones that we want included here. And then we can discuss them in the next week. I know I've spoken a lot. But
I caught everything. I've caught up at everything that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay. Now.
Ndavane?
Sure. I think the point that is raised by Comrade Mankosaza Nanjobe is fine.
I don't know why you find it difficult to pronounce this name. It's such a common name, even in the country. Mankosazana.
I wanted exactly that reaction. It will indicate the real life. But the point here that I want us to try to address, I think I agree with you first. But just to say, regulation generally belong to the executive to implement the main primary law that we have passed. I think our approach there on regulation should be, are they contradictory to the main act? If they are not contradictory in the main act, my view is that we shouldn't take more time in terms of approving them for the implementation of the main act. Because if we delay regulation unnecessarily, as Manjoba was saying, that regulation really assists you only to implement the main act. There's an act that is existing. They propose this, then we must just guide against department introducing amendment to the act through regulation. If they're not doing that, I think we should really give them a benefit of doubt and move on with the regulations, because
they will assist them to exercise the implementation of the Act. I think that's the main purpose of the regulation. To me, I would really worry if regulation, first, they move away from what is a policy, and then whether they, if they contradict the Act or they're introducing amendment to the Act through the back door. I think that's the thing that we should guide that in. The real details work of regulation are very important, but because I think, sure, we shouldn't have a situation where department or your colleagues as executive come back to us and say, but we can't implement the Act because we have passed the Act, or the Act was passed by us. And then simply means that at a broader strategic level, we are clear what we want to achieve with STRA. And what they need from us really is endorsement for them to implement our Act. Then I think, sure, we should look at that area at the principal level. And then, of course, the legal team will assist us to say it's still in legal thing interpretation. But we are not designing a new Act. We want to facilitate the implementation of one. As long as there are no contradictions, there's no amendment that introduces backdoor, and then they implement them. As they implement them, they will come back again to say, but we think this regulation also, we need more regulation to refine what we mean by this. I think that's what we should do. My appeal there, my job is that we shouldn't delay it more than necessary. But of course, I'm not arguing that we shouldn't take detailed approaches. I'm not arguing against that. But we mustn't end up with a situation when there's dichotomy between us and the executive, that we can't implement your Act because you guys, you are delaying us on regulations, despite the fact that you are the one who passed the Act. When you passed the Act, also you made mention that regulation would follow. That would make it easy for department to pass the Act. That is the general appeal share that I'm making.
Chair, I agree with both speakers. And just to answer Richard's question, the Act is in fact trying to put something through the back door, or rather the regulations. And that's the question about the municipal entities, which the Act clearly excludes, and now via the regulations they want to include it. Yeah, but if one just looks through the other pages here, Chair, if we just take that clause 5 and you look at the document we had last week, that they had 5A, B, C, and D, which were really, with the exception of A and B, were just one-line items. Look at this new document now. It's 5A, it goes on to the entire page 10, it goes on to the entire page 11, and it goes on to almost the entire page 12, right up to KL3. So, and if you look at the next one, it's the same thing. This is almost a new document to the one that was presented to us. Now, I accept what Richard says, and we shouldn't delay regulation unnecessarily, but we, in effect, have got a completely new document in front of us, which I believe the department should be able to, they must be here so that they can answer questions that we've got related to it. So we're really sitting with, and if you look through the rest of it, whilst they haven't highlighted any changes, they have made major changes.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think Honourable Richard is quite right. As we are saying, let's continue looking at the document so that when we refer these issues to the department, must have looked at them, and also when we send our request, we seek the legal advice. We should know what we are taking to the legal advice. So it is good that we continue with this process. This process is very fine, that we continue to identify these errors. Because really, they cannot bring something new. What they should have done, I expected that from the original document, they should reflect that the committee has commented on this, as they do. But now, seemingly now, I don't know whether they thought that we're not going to look at this document. Maybe. Yeah. But unfortunately, yeah, especially identified with the loophole. Yeah. So let's continue. It's going to assist us this process. Because we cannot just go to the legal advisor to seek a legal advice without telling him what would you want that particular person to advise you on. So you should identify the problem yourself, and then he is going to correct you on that one. So let's continue, members.
Thank you.
Honorable Bowman.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what has happened here is that there's been a new section inserted, so perhaps we could, because then it picks up the document again. And if you look under, you know, the bold print sort of headings, you pick up this provisionally accredited social housing institution thing on page 19 in the amended document. And then it picks it up the same again. So it looks to me as if there's been something new inserted, but then it gets back to the document again. So perhaps that assists us then in what we're doing. They haven't completely changed everything. They've just switched it all around.
Well, on page 5, what is the heading there? Can you ask the staff?
Chapter 2, what is the heading on Chapter 2? It's applications, qualifying criteria, and accreditation. So it goes on to... qualifying accreditation for social housing, yes, we have done that, and then, in my old, I'm using my new document, yes, on page 9 now, I'm on page 9, we are continuing with the,
where is your, you see, on the old document here, you've got qualifying criteria, where is that?
On page 10.
On page 10. I don't see it.
Provisional accredited. What is your heading?
I don't see it.
Honorable Bowman, on page 7, on the old one, page 7.
Yes, I've got that.
There's qualifying criteria for accreditation.
Yes.
Then you proceed.
Now, where does that correspond in your new document here?
It's here, Mr. On page 7. Page 10, this old one. It's on page 7.
Okay,
I've got it there.
All right, so we're there.
Yes. Then you go to page 8. Then page 8, there's 3, which says in order. Is page 8 even in the old one?
Yes, that's fine.
That's where we are.
That's fine.
And then we have commented on 4, where we are saying there's 4.
Now, this is where it changes.
There are changes here.
Yeah.
Yes. I've got an old one.
So this thing has now changed. It's very, very different.
Yes, that's where we are saying there is a change.
Changed?
Changed. And then we continue to C. Then they are saying to C. Applicants that are municipal entities must not distribute any profits to members. Sometimes the contradiction, because we have to look at that one. And then we carry on to 5. 5 is saying, the corner national for Manbangabasili, they are saying in order to comply with the criteria of good governance, that seems, there's a change here. There's a change, Mr. Singh. There's a change. There's a change here. Yo, I don't know. I'm going to tell you, man. The whole fight is changed.
This is what I'm saying. This is being inserted now, all of this. Right up to page 19. At 19, you get back again to this.
To 19.
Right up to page 19. All of this is not there. And then on page 19, you've got provisionally accredited social housing, which is on page 10 in your old document.
What's that? Why is this people doing this?
Then we seem to pick it up correctly for a while.
Yes. So what you're saying is on page in the old document?
The old document, page 10. Your new document is page 19.
Okay. Okay, we are saying provisionally accredited social housing institution.
Yes. Now that is the same as we've got in the old document. It's just in a different place.
And then how do you come back to this
public comment? No, wait a minute. There have been changes here as well. No. If you go to point number 4 in your old document and number 2, it says a provisionally accredited social housing. Now it says a previously provisionally accredited. So there's been a word put in here which doesn't seem to have been asked for.
And they're not highlighted.
No. So it looks to me as if this has actually got to be compared quite closely. Now you come to something else that's new here, chapter 3. In the new document, it's on page 21, and I don't see it in the old document. It says chapter 3 in the new document on page 21.
The old document saying regulatory functions.
Correct.
The new one, compliance monitoring. And if there's no reflection to us, no reflection that has been made to say we have amended this one.
So there's been new things inserted, and then you pick up on page 22, I see they've got the compliance declaration.
Page 22.
22, the new document, and it's on page 14 in the old document.
Where is forensic? Where is forensic investigation allocated? Okay. So they inserted new things from page 21 to page 23, 22.
I'm just wondering, somebody didn't make a mistake and sent us the wrong document.
No? I don't think so.
But we discussed this one in detail last time, so why should they send us a different document without actually even indicating that they are sending us a different document?
Mama, your question is very, very relevant.
Your question is very, very relevant. But for now, it's not going to ask this time because there's no one who's going to respond to that question. But let's keep those questions because what they should have done, because in actual fact, we raised the issues with them. But what we expected from them is to say those issues that we raised, and there were issues that they were raised by them.
themselves to say, no, honorable members, the issue that you are referring to, we have already identified a challenge and we have already made a submission to the department for the amendment of that particular section. And now we said they must also bring those amendments. But what we are expected from them is to reflect, not to just change a document without reflecting that this is a new amendment based on the discussions that we had. So if you were not part of this meeting, it would happen that all of us were changed in this committee. So the new committee that would come would have a problem in addressing this. So those questions have to be raised when they are here. But let's do our homework, because this is our meeting to identify these challenges. We have to observe these challenges. This is our meeting without them, so that when we meet with them, we raise these issues with them. Sister, your hand was up.
Yeah, Chairperson, I mean, you've said it all. They when we raise certain queries and issues, the SHRA was very quick to say, oh, they identified that already,
yeah,
and they are busy making the changes. Now, this is obviously the changes.
Yeah.
That is why there's a lot of new stuff,
yeah,
in here.
Yeah.
My suggestion is that we should be looking at this new document as a new document.
Okay.
If we keep on comparing it, we're going to get stuck where we are now.
Okay.
What would have been important and what would have been a plus for us is if at least the items that we've identified, if the researcher and Koliswa have got notes of the things that we specifically identified last week and asked to be presented, if we can have a list of that so that when we look at this new document, we at least make sure that some of our recommendations then is included in the new document. But we need to really approach this new document fresh as if this is the document before us.
I think that is the way forward. So let's just forget about it.
Except the changes you made.
Except the changes you made. But we don't have them now. We'll look at them. They're going to be taken later. Okay. So it means what we need to do is to look at the document and with the public comment.
Well, the public comment is going to be totally different because the clauses will be...
They're not
related to the new document.
Okay, no. We have to continue. So, what else are you saying now?
Are you saying this? That's...
What I'm suggesting is, I'm not sure if we can continue the chair. What I'm suggesting is that we take the new document and we start on the new document.
Yes.
But the our researcher and police should have prepared a list of the changes we made in the old document, so that we can just see that whether the past changes we suggested is at least included in the new document. And then we may find new things that we want to comment on or change or whatever. But we can't proceed until we got that list of the things that we've already suggested last week to see that they're included in the new document.
All right. No, I get you. Can we agree now as the committee that as we are coming back on the 10th, is it 11th? Now, can't we, because we won't have time to look at this during that particular week. He played it with us. Can we agree with you? Maybe we come back, we take one day in the last week, come back, or we take the evening session in one of those. It's your choice now. What would you suggest us to do? Because we have to finalize this. Fast track it. What are you suggesting?
Yes, Chairperson, I think we're going to find there's quite a few things that need to change on this document. I would suggest that maybe a better way would be for us just to come back a day or so early and to sit and deal with it so that we finish it.
Okay.
Can we invite the department on that particular meeting? Because they have to present it. This is a new document now. They have to present it. I don't know. I think. I'm a witness, but at least we come back. We use a day in the last week, our Wednesday, before the opening of the constituency period, because this form part of the legislation. So I think e-regulations, they are accommodated with the one issue. We have, they can come back or most of.
Then we have a meeting on the Wednesday prior to the EE open. This is very crucial. I'm sure now we're going to do what we want to do. Honourable comments?
I just would like, whilst we reorganising these documents, if they could look at the numbering that they've given this document, because they're repeating numbers. When you prepare something like this, you should have, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Then all of a sudden, you're coming back to 4, 5, 6 again. They need to tidy up these numbers so that we can refer back to them properly. Otherwise, now we've got to refer to page numbers if we're trying to find the numbers.
Okay.
I also asked this as really, in the new document that we are going to be dealing with, just to indicate the insertion part. Firstly, they must indicate what were the comment of the committee and where they were inserted. Firstly. And then they must justify why they didn't put, because they must convince us that public views were not captured for a various reason. They must convince us on that. Then the department should assist us to agree to say, no, we think in public view this one is not correct because then it's covered somewhere. They must assist us to do so. They mustn't just leave it like that because I think they're setting us up for this. And they also, they must indicate where they are intending to amend the law. They must indicate this thing because what they are doing, in fact, that was my fear when I was, we've been raising with them, that they almost want to amend the law. But they want to use regulation to amend the law because they think that will just push them through. And they, I think it's a bigger problem for us that we should clarify with them. I think they will assist us a lot in our next meeting.
Okay. Thank you. That's good to do this exercise. They help us a lot. Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Richard. You are released. And what next, Costa?
Chairperson, can I also just ask that document that the Honourable Member has got, Majobi, from SALGA? I don't have that. Does anybody else have that SALGA document?
Yes, it is there. We have the comments.
Yeah, it's not a separate document for SALGA. It's where you have all the public comments. SALGA is the first one.
Okay, we'll look at that. No,
Yeah. Okay, let's take a comfort break. Well, I'm going to do small one for
let's take a 5 minute comfort break.
Oh, no, it's not the Niago, but too much of a fool. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
They think that's
what I'm doing.
No, they have to tell us that they have to say something.
Ulla, you see the level?
Because he's
already
walking.
Look at
So,
back of the reserve.
on 3.1, paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, where they're saying the, in terms of reporting, section 71 and 72. So, we did not capture what is this section referred to. So, it's something that it has to be communicated with the department to find out what were they referring to. Which one are they referring to? And then we come to the actual presentation. The first one by the Tshwane municipality, which was represented by the executive director. I can give members just to breathe for 2 seconds looking at it. Then proceed to the deliberations and responses. Just 1 second, we can do. I can see there's nothing there on page 5, presentation by the Etegwini municipality, which was represented by the municipal manager, Mr. Sutcliffe. There is an annexure here. I don't know where is this annexure? Okay. The annexures are at the back. I think the annexure we have to look at it is the one that relates to the dwelling types. I think it should have been numbered. Annexure A. Yeah, there's that annexa at the back. It relates to, so I think here in this document, in on page 6, we have to reflect that is annexa A. Yes, annexa A. Yes. So then after that section, then there are challenges or that have been presented. Here are the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. And then the other one was the demand for land. There was a briefing on that one. On the issues that are relating to land.
And then page 7, for the strategic objectives and intended outcomes of the USDG. And then the approach that has been adopted by the municipality on page 7, continue on page 8. And then there is a section on the plans to improve effectiveness of asset management. And then the strategy for sanitation and electricity on page 8.
Suggestion, and I'm referring specifically to the one you just mentioned, the strategy around sanitation and electricity. It should be bold. But I think a general suggestion would be that these headings must be sub-numbers. It just makes it easier when we talk about it, when we refer to certain things. So generally through the document. If we're going to have Etequini as 3.2, for example, 3.3, then we could have 3.31, 3.32, 3.33, etc., where we've got headings of issues. It makes it easy to refer to something.
We stop numbering when it comes to 3.22.
Yeah, like that one, 3.22, 3.3, then 3.31.
But tell them all.
Demand for land should be bold as well.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly to the objectives and intended outcomes of the USDG.
Mm-hmm.
And it should have a sub number.
For land, mm-hmm. when they put the key issues, I would like to know where does the symmetry land for symmetry fall? They don't fall under this.
Yes, they do. In fact, the municipalities, they presented their whole strategic imperatives, but on human settlements we selected those are related to our mandate. Otherwise, because when you do an oversight, because we've got those documents with us, we can just pick anything and then we because when you do oversight, you don't do oversight on your own portfolio only. If there are challenges, you pick them up. So we do have those documents that they with their presentation, but now in this report we have selected those are directly related to us. Yes. Yes.
On page 9,
what is the leave from the land. The presenter informed the committee that an amount of 1.1 billion has been allocated for the provision of housing. Then annexure A, it can be annexure A, it could be another annexure. Table 1, determining population by dwelling type. Oh, okay, so repeat. Yeah. Table 2, capital expenditure over 10 years for eradication of social backlog. And then table 3, basic services and infrastructure. Okay, no, it's fine. No, it's fine. Then, page 10,
of deliberations. Yes, Mama.
But the last deliberation there on 3.331 is not complete. Plans to develop hostel and community. It's incomplete. Thank you very much. It says then,
have you quick deliberations by the committee? Who bullet 1, 2, 3, 4? We're incomplete. Thank you. We are through with Etewini. Then we get to the city of Cape Town, which was represented by the Director of Housing and Finance, Housing, Finance and Leases, Mr. Muller. Page 12 continues the presentation. Then we continue to page 13. It also includes the beginning of the deliberation.
At the bottom of page 30, the 21.7 billion. Yeah, I'm just querying that because this refers specifically to the city and not to the national department. So if we could just check that.
Then on page 14, there are responses by the municipality. Okay, page 15. Okay, we're through with the city of Cape Town. We proceed to Nelson Mandela Bay.
Just before we, on page 15.
Okay.
Very up at the top before 3.5, that sentence is also not complete.
It says the land was owned.
The land was owned by the state under the Department of Public Works and the land.
Yeah, it's incomplete. Thank you. Then Nelson Mandela, which was represented by the Director of Land Planning and Management, Mr. McCarthy. Look, Miss McCarthy. Oh, this is Colonel Miss.
Municipality was the second largest metro after Etiquini with a population of 1.1 million.
Ah.
Now, I don't know if that's what they said, But then if they did say that, then it's incorrect, because on the city of Cape Town, it had a population of 3.7 million people.
No, I'm sure that's what it was. Because they were, they are saying the second largest.
After
Etegini. Okay. So that was what they said. No, it's what they said. So, yeah, that's what they said. But yeah, we can challenge that in another platform. Then page 17. On the responses after the deliberation. And then those annexures, can we just have a look on those annexures? Which is annexure GHI. I wonder whom are they referring to? There's G. Yeah. Capital budget for cities. I mean for Nelson Mandela. I think we have to illustrate it in writing here, because this thing is faint here. So you can't detect which municipality is this. Can also reflect it in writing. And then annexure F. I'm looking for H. Still for. H is for Nelson Mandela again. And then annexure I for Nelson Mandela, okay. So here, that pie chart, how are they, their capital budget, their allocation of their capital budget. And then the backlog in I. It reflects their backlog in terms of capital, I'm sure. Yes, in terms of capital. I think we are through with the Nelson Mandela. Then city of Johannesburg, which was represented by Mr. Pinar. Director Planning, Development Planning and Facilities. Page 18. Page 19, continuation of the presentation. And on page 20, deliberation. Followed with the responses on page 21. Then city of Ekuruleni on page 22, represented by Mr. Swanepoel, Director, Special Planning.
Yeah.
23, or Annexa F 23. G H I F now come as a ruling. Don't know what you say, even someone have a career. And when they import a cook, they actually take, but the project list in terms of capital is. And then we commit deliberations. With the responses on page 24. Okay.
Make another general comment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the responses by the municipality, and I'm looking specifically at the second bullet point.
Yes.
And it says, yeah, 20,000 hectares of land had been acquired and 7 portions had been transferred. I'm not sure if that transferred to whom, to the city or to what. But then, furthermore, some of suitably land parcels have been to private developers. The sentence as it is there is sort of incomplete. I want to just suggest that between Koliswa and our researcher here, that they just, that when they put, this is on the computer, they maybe just put on their there's a function on the computer where it will highlight incomplete sentences, and sometimes even give a suggestion as to, because that sounds incomplete to me. Some of suitably laid parcels have been to private developers. They've been sold, they've been transferred, they've been what?
No, it has been sold, I remember this one.
Yeah, so...
No, it has been sold. This one has been sold to the private developer.
Yeah.
I remember this.
So, but then, you see, that's the gap there. So, I'm saying if the entire document, that function on the computer can just be switched on, so it identifies all these incomplete sentences.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, please do that, Anne.
On page 24, which was represented by the housing manager, Mr. Nell, then on page 25, we continue with the presentation. Then deliberations. Followed by the responses.
Just take us back to the top of page 25. I just want to understand this leaf transactions. We're talking about the municipality received a qualified audit report listing irregular expenditure of 1.3 million, an amount of 2 million rand relating to leaf transactions that were not captured in time. Is that actually like annual leaf, that leaf we're talking about, holiday time?
Yeah, we'll have to double check, but I think
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
The last line on
27. The last one. Mama, open. Because we are still picking, you know. You are so fast.
So we are through with Pixligas, and then we get to Mama's favorite, Francis Budd, which was represented by Mr. D, acting municipal manager. Then we can go as far as deliberations and responses. Mama, what are you doing? What am I saying? Which another responses?
This is under Francis Budd.
Yes, I've got it.
Oh, okay. 27, just the last line there. But that word, I'm sure it shouldn't be cruel, but providing.
Can you read it from us?
It says there.
Oh, I can see.
The Francis Budd indicated that indeed there is a demand for rental stock and they need to be assisted in cruel.
I'm sure it's providing. Providing. Thank you very much, Mama. Then on 28, responses. Then we come to Buffalo City, represented by Mr. Pretorius, Director Planning.
Just very quickly, it just changes the meaning again. On page 28, the last paragraph above Buffalo City, and basically the last line, it talks there, it says, so none of the local or district municipality gets the allocation of HFDG directly. It is transferred directly from the province. It's almost a contradiction there. I think what it is meant to say, it is transferred directly to the provinces. Rather from the provinces.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Thank you. Then 29. Then continue to the deliberations. Responses by the municipality. I think we are through with the Buffalo City. We can proceed to Mangaum on page 30, represented by Mr. Machoho, the general manager.
Just on page 31, the second paragraph, and maybe it should just be confirmed.
Uh-huh.
In terms of capital programs for backlogs, more than 169 million had been allocated and committed for capital programs for 2010-2011 financial year. And then it says, pardon?
No, can continue.
And then it says 4.4 million for 2011-12. that just seems wrong, such a big difference from one to the other. If that can just be confirmed.
Thank you very much. Then proceed to the deliberations and responses. I think we are through with the responses. The last part deals with the committee recommendations, but they are not exhaustive. I think the committee members have the opportunity to make some additions. Yes. Those are the recommendations by the committee now.
Yeah, I know. Number two.
Number two?
Yeah. I think also changes the meaning if you use it like that. Point number two, that first line. That word grain. I'm sure this guy.
Which one?
It says national government to clarify the human settlement development grain reduction.
Oh. Oh, grand.
Yeah.
We have the city of Cape Town. There was an anomaly there that was observed. City?
On recommendation one, the minister department.
Of department.
Of the department.
Of the department. Okay.
Then it also says the three, the national department should development national policy.
The national should develop
a national policy. And then I'm not sure on four, but the housing summit should be convened in order to discuss how to handle the issues of unfunded mandates. And then we got such as bowling of libraries. I'm sure we may have had something else there. We would not have been particularly...
No, dear Mr. Stein, that was the issue that were raised by most of the municipalities to say that they've got a challenge in their capital grant. They found themselves building clinics, hospitals, libraries, and so on. That is why we are putting an etc. So that is an unfunded mandate for them. Because we'll find that they use sometimes they for instance, in terms of maintenance, these departments, they don't provide the funds for maintenance of such institutions. Now the municipality has to make sure that those institutions, those areas are being maintained. What are you suggesting?
Just to perhaps make it a little bit more clear
okay.
In terms of what you said.
Okay.
When we say unfunded mandates, such as building of libraries, clinics, etc.
Okay.
It just makes it a little bit clearer.
Okay. Honourable Gorman?
That point number four, I think it looks as if the housing summit is going to only deal with the unfunded mandates, and I think it's going to be wider than that, is it not?
It's
something we want to be able to...
That common understanding.
Yes, of quite a number of issues.
We can expand it.
So I think this would just be part of the summit. So I think if we just indicate that.
In order to discuss, comma, amongst others.
Amongst others.
How to handle.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's your report, honorable members. Honorable Mbok.
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. Can I, if I can just take us back to page 3 also.
Page 3.
Yeah, you were a bookkeeper for me then. The last sentence that says the challenge of that proclamation was not yet done and those people were not possession. Yeah, so it should read in possession of them.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Chairperson, also on page
28,
up there, the National Department has indicated that it has engaged.
On the responses of Francis Park.
On page 28,
okay.
Up there, the National Department has indicated that it has engaged the CITAS to assist municipalities.
Or to assist,
yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can we check maybe on page 16? I don't know whether.
16?
Yes.
Okay.
On the deliberation by the committee. On bullet number 1, 2, 3, 4. On the last paragraph, there is this thing.
The committee? The last paragraph?
Yes. The committee wanted the department to respond later why the area had not been developed and the people of Fisher's Corner were suffering.
I think, yes.
Because the director had no information, but you can refine that question, that they had no information about Fisher's Corner issue. So they were requested to go back and look at the committee report, oversight report.
Yes,
I'm agreeing with you, Chairperson. There is this alone there. There is this that is flying. This, okay. I can see it now. No, I did not see it. Okay. Thank you. Another comment?
Chairperson, just a general comment, since I wasn't at this, but I've noticed that most of the presentations were made by the planning, the managers of the planning divisions, and we had a municipal manager in Etiqueni and one of the other municipalities who did the presentation. And then I see that, you know, there was a comment by a mayor. I would be quite interested to know who was there from the municipalities. I mean, did they send a mayor and the planning portfolio manager? And I think we've got a very good document here for information. If we want to go back and sort of look at backlogs in sanitation and things like that, we've got figures here now that we can refer to. So I think that is very good.
I think as you have proposed at the beginning, what you need to illustrate who were the participants of that particular. So those mayors, some of the municipalities, they had their mayors accompanying them. Honourable members, this is your report. Can you adopt your report with amendments?
Yes.
and corrections, because I don't think there's much. Another report?
Yes, Chairperson, I move that to adopt the report with amendments.
Honorable Machoba, Honorable Figlan, you said.
Because I see, yes, there was a mention of HDA all the time that doesn't work with the municipalities or the provinces. What is the committee going to do about
your
that?
Your recommendation.
But what I can suggest, because we did not have enough time to look at this report, maybe at your spare time, because I think as we are adopting it now, we're going to make these corrections, but we can give you at least by Friday. Can you take it to committee section? We can take it on Friday. No, on Monday. On Tuesday, yes. So to give you the opportunity so that if you feel that there should be other recommendations as members that you can add. Let's give you that opportunity.
And saying not now, I think we must look at that, all these entities. There are a lot of these entities which are of no good for us. Because they are just giving them, and it is my money. Take for instance, any person, you can name them all. If you are not playing, we are still developing another entities. If maybe, or in the future, we can try and cut down all this. We don't think we cut them all, but those who are not of him to do to us. Take this one, we can see now, if maybe we can capacitate the department itself or others, they do match.
Thank you very much, Honorable Machoba. Your suggestion is going to be discussed on the forums that we are going to. I think that summit has got to look at those gaps, because we have to look at the gaps. Yes. Mr. Stein?
Chair, in our strategic workshop, one of the things we identified is that we often, when we've got presentations, then the people that do the presentation indicate to certain of our questions they will come back with a report. Mm-hmm. In this particular document we've just adopted, there was, on the official corner, one of the things said by the responses by the municipality was that they will provide us with a report. Mm-hmm. Now, we took a decision in our strategic workshop that the committee section will come back with a full list of promises by the department and other municipalities and entities where they indicate they will provide us further information. And we never follow up on these things. So we actually need that list so that we can start following up. If they've promised to give us something, then we need to look at it and say, well, you promised us and we therefore need it. Like I say, in this report, the municipalities say they will give us a full report on something. So these things slip through our fingers, Jim.
Just a short thing. Was there any discussion about how soon it would be before we had the municipalities again? Is it 6 months, a year? Is it a once a year thing? What are the plans for them coming before the committee again?
Now, we did look at that, because in my comment, I think I raised that to say we need to have a regular interaction. We even said 6 months at the same. Didn't propose 6 months, because I remember when we were saying, because the department told us that those ITR protocols are going to be finalized in August. And then we said, no, we can see them maybe on January when we are opening, to find before their financial year ends, because their financial year ends in May, end of May, the municipalities.
June.
So I think we can also fit in the recommendation. Members, thank you very much. I think we are done and on time. Sustain? Don't want to leave.
No. not yet, Chair Thompson. Chair, there's a number of reports that was on our agenda previous week that have been postponed.
No, there's other reports.
No, there's oversight visit in I'm just wondering, there's minutes of meetings that we're falling behind on again. You still have two or three hours in the early mornings available, so that's why I'm raising a check. You're going to leave tomorrow morning at 4, so if you get up at 2 and do something, you can get 4.
Now, Honorable Fig Lining, all those reports you are referring to, we have adopted them. It's only Mpumalanga that were left, but we've got quite a lot of minutes. Yeah, I can agree with Mr. Steak. And the Mpumalanga report is already drafted, but you know that I want to clean it myself. As you can see, that these reports have been cleaned. At least there's nothing much that at least it's just a small issues. So I can't process that report without being cleaned. I've started cleaning it. But unfortunately, because we are closing, we have to adopt it when we come back, first meeting. And then those minutes, all of them, they will be there on our first meeting so that we start a new page.
Before we close, Chairperson, the report, the report, I think there is lots of problems in Nelson Mandela Bay. A project that is called Tembelisha 9 and 10. The person that was reporting, it's about the contract awarded to big companies and then they don't do the job. They leave the job behind, but they get paid. We talk about the millions. Now, unfortunately, I wanted to send that email to Ukoliswa, the NP3 flat, so they that report. And Chairperson, I would love and over, we must have a date of doing the second oversight at Eastern Cape, where we choose some places. Thank you, Chair.
Hi. Nani Tatili Resolution. About each and every full complement oversight, we need to make a follow-up. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, this office of yours has done is put those things in the program. But you know, Parliament program disrupted us a lot. But we've re-put it 2nd November, ne? 2nd of November. But those issues, we don't have to wait for that time. Can bring that to the office, and then call us, we ask to find my process and journey. The corner's needs that have been responded to, even by the department, even by the Eastern Cape. So you can just bring forward that document. Thank you very much, everybody. Let's have at least a 30 minutes rest. No, it's too much, 1.5. Yes, can rest.
Tomorrow morning, guys, 4:30, Pension Park will leave. Pension Park will leave at 4:30.
Put everything. thing, your water, your so on, your snacks and so on.
You know what? You have to do that. It's a bomb.